This message comes from NPR sponsor Viore, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to viore.com/NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. President Biden says he would limit shipments of some military weapons to Israel if Prime Minister Netanyahu launches a major invasion into Rafah, where more than a million Palestinians live. As NPR's Deepa Shivaram reports, it's a significant shift for Biden, who's been under pressure to limit aid to Israel.
In an interview with CNN, Biden admitted that bombs that the U.S. had provided to Israel had been used to kill civilians in Gaza. Last week, the U.S. paused a shipment of more than 3,000 bombs to Israel because of concerns they could be used in Rafah.
Civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs and other ways in which they go after population centers.
Israeli strikes have killed more than 34,000 Palestinian civilians since the war began, according to Gaza's Ministry of Health. The president has been facing mounting pressure, including from those in his own party, to condition aid as Israel continues to wage its war in Gaza. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News.
Former President Trump's criminal fraud trial is not in session on Wednesdays, but NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports that Trump did not use today's break to campaign for re-election.
Trump used last Wednesday to hold two campaign rallies, but a Trump campaign official tells NPR the former president is at Mar-a-Lago today and will return to New York tonight. He has been doing interviews to stay in the spotlight during this trial. In a Tuesday interview with Pennsylvania NBC affiliate WGAL, Trump maintained that contesting the results of the 2020 election, which Joe Biden won, was the right thing to do. While he's not in the courtroom today, the trial is on his mind. In a post on his Truth Social network, Trump complained about a gag order keeping him from talking about certain aspects of the trial. This weekend, he will hold a campaign rally in Wildwood, New Jersey. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
A group of black voters is once again asking the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in on Louisiana's congressional voting districts. NPR's Hanji Luong has details.
The group of black Louisiana voters is arguing the Supreme Court should pause a lower court ruling so the state's elections this year have a chance of using a congressional map that's in line with the Voting Rights Act. In January, Louisiana's Republican-controlled legislature passed the map the group is trying to defend with two majority black districts, which are likely to elect Democrats given how racially polarized voting is in Louisiana. But a three-judge court blocked that map last week after finding one of those districts is unconstitutional because it's a racial gerrymander. This case could lead to another chance for the Supreme Court to review the Voting Rights Act and end up helping to determine which party controls the next Congress. Hanzi Luong, NPR News.
On Wall Street, stocks closed mostly lower today. The Dow Jones Industrials gained 172 points, however. The Nasdaq Composite Index fell 29 points, and the S&P 500 lost a fraction. This is NPR News. More than 130 pro-Palestinian protesters have been arrested at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. University Chancellor Javier Reyes says he ordered the clearing of a student encampment after talks on protesters' demands fell apart. Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., police used pepper spray tonight to disperse protesters at George Washington University. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump says sheriff's deputies in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, have shot and killed a black serviceman. Crump says 23-year-old senior airman Roger Forston was gunned down in his home on Friday. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office says the officer fired in self-defense while responding to a disturbance. Crump says Forston was home alone when he was shot. Influential music producer and audio engineer Stephen Albini has died at the age of 61. NPR's Andrew Limbong has this remembrance.
Steve Albini's drum sound is the stuff music fans have spent decades obsessing over. And whether it was the Pixies or Nirvana, PJ Harvey, or a quieter band like Low, Albini was a go-to hire for any band looking to add some grit to their sound. Albini was a fixture of the Chicago indie rock scene. He had his own bands too, Shellac and before that Big Black. Both known for their anger and piercing tone, something that could be said about Albini himself. A fierce ethicist in the music business, and he wasn't quiet about it.
Andrew Limbong reporting. This is NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor VCU Massey Comprehensive Cancer Center, who, as an NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the country's top 4%, is unconditionally committed to keeping loved ones in their lives. MasseyCancerCenter.org/comprehensive.